Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley, and I'm your host for the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Today we have Lydia Knorr from Toronto, Canada with us, and we start Lydia's story after the sudden loss of her husband about 8 years ago. And we just talk about so many things that I think that you listeners, in particular women over 50, are really going to relate to. And, you know, it really kind of all boils down, all the things that we talked about, was to this one statement that I found on Lydia's website. Living in alignment with the things you value the most will give you the most out of living. Thought that was brilliant. But before we get to the episode with Lydia, I want to remind you we have a Facebook group. I'll drop the link down below. Come join us there. And also, I'm publishing a book of some of my podcast guests. Get on the email list and be in the know, the first in the know, about the journey with this book. Okay, friends, on to my interview with Lydia.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the platform. And yeah, the program was absolutely born from my own personal journey. And I really feel fortunate. Oh, and I should have turned that notification off. I apologize. I hope you never heard you know, I really feel fortunate that the work I do is very much integrated with my own personal journey and experiences. And I think that is the most rewarding kind of work you can do, is something that really resonates with you, you know, internally and on a really deep level. So and we'll get to how I landed there. Yeah, my story kind of goes like this. It started out with what I love to call, you know, being in that point in my life where I was feeling like the midlife wife, you know, who am I? What is my bigger purpose in this lifetime? Why am I here? You know, I had that picture perfect life, Shelley, of, you know, married to a wonderful, wonderful man, three beautiful children, you know, financial stability, had a beautiful home, had a lot of freedoms and choices in the way we lived our lives. And honestly, like super blessed, nothing to complain about. And so I almost felt a little bit guilty voicing this restlessness I was feeling inside. You know, there's more I'm meant to be doing with my life. And fortunately, my husband was a good sounding board. He was open to that. And so when I expressed this feeling that I was having, he said, well, just, you know, he was so simple. Everything with him was simple. Just do what makes you happy. And I'm like, okay, well, what is that? And then he'd say, you know, stop overthinking it and really just enjoy the moment. Enjoy what you've got going on in front of you right now. I'm like, okay, I will, when I figure out what I need to do to be happy. That's kind of my mentality, yeah. Right? And I had a pretty decent career. I worked for 25 years as a registered dietitian. And within that career, I had some really cool opportunities. I have to say, the ones that sort of gave me a glimpse of where I was going to go later in life were two. One specifically was teaching at the university level and actually teaching in my alma mater, which was really nice. I loved having an engaged group of students. I loved showing them what the opportunities were within the profession, but I really just loved having that sort of platform where I was on a stage and I got to educate and mentor and inspire. And then further to that, I also was working, I had an opportunity to work in media as a dietitian. So that meant I was speaking on a stage, you know, in front of a television camera or, you know, to a radio announcer, like in, you know, doing interviews on radio or in print on magazines. And I just loved having that voice. And I loved sharing a message that felt important and authentic. And, you know, in my world of nutrition and well-being, food is, you know, food is fuel, food is medicine, food is so powerful. So I really knew that I could stand behind what I was speaking about and feel good. But over time, what started happening in that work was that it was very branded, right? And so I was talking about a brand. So whether I was talking about a certain brand of almond milk or a certain brand of something else, it was branded work, right? That's who's paying you, right? When you're doing that kind of work. And I wanted something that felt more authentic. And so, you know, this is part of how that conversation started. There's more I'm meant to be doing. I love the stage, but I know my message, you know, there's a bigger message here for me. Fast forward now, my husband is climbing up the corporate ladder in his own business and he's doing a ton of travel. It's taking its toll on him. I can see it. And you know, we always have this check-in point. We'd always say, are you happy? And as long as the answer was yes, good. And I remember having a very, very candid conversation with him. One day I said, you know, I'm worried about you. You look tired and I don't know. It's, I think this is taking its toll. And he said, it is. He goes, it's a real grind. He goes, but I'm building something here. And it's probably the next year to two of this kind of pace. He said, but it'll settle in. It's all good. I'm happy. I love what I'm doing. I said, great. So one day I take him to the airport and he has a 5-day trip to China on the calendar. And that trip doesn't entail just one destination. It's multiple destinations in China. And I'm thinking, how can you possibly do this? And I remember dropping him off at the airport. And my heart was so heavy, Shelley, thinking there he goes on another trip he doesn't have the energy for. And 3 days later, my phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the name on the caller ID was his boss. And right away, I knew something bad happened. But never did I expect the words that were told to me when he said, we don't know what happened, but Mike is dead.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you can imagine.
Got tears in my eyes.
Yeah. Pretty devastating. And, you know, I said, what happened? And he said, we don't know. We don't have any answers yet.
How old was he?
49.
Oh, wow. That seems so young, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does. Now that we're all in our 50s and just, you know, kind of stepping into chapter two and thriving, right?
Yeah.
And the crazy part is, you know, he had just had a physical before he left on this trip because we were looking at redoing our life insurance policy, all these crazy little things, you know? And so there was nothing amiss with his health other than what I can say to this day is I think he actually just died from exhaustion because I really never got a clear answer as to what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what I want to take away or what I want to sort of explain to your audience is sort of the steps that happened following this were really pivotal in my life and life changing, which is why I'm here speaking to you today. I remember after getting that news, you know, and again, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I'm very pragmatic in the way my mind works, even in a devastating moment like that. It doesn't make a stitch of difference whether I call his mother now or I call her at 7 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't make any sense to me to wake my children up at 3 a.m. and tell them what's happened.
Right.
I'll tell them when they're getting up for school.
Yeah.
So I sat with the news quietly by myself. And I just remember feeling this crazy connection to him. I could almost feel his transition. And I just felt this enormity of love and immediate gratitude for everything that we had shared as a family. And I just wanted to revel in it. So I remember crawling over to his side of the bed and wrapping myself up in the blankets and just sitting with everything I was feeling. And I really just felt this insane connection to him and this profound love and gratitude for everything that we had shared. And right in that moment, I thought to myself, okay, something bigger is at work in your life here, girl, because you just went from this woman who was saying, I'm restless. I don't know what I'm meant to be doing in my life. You know, all of these things that were kind of stirring within you. And now you're feeling this enormity of love and gratitude. Something bigger is at work in your life here. And so in the months and weeks and, you know, that followed, you know, his passing, I really wanted to try and maintain that connection to something else. I felt really felt that spirit, something like I received some sort of a spiritual awakening in those early moments of his passing. And I wanted to maintain that connection. So I dug in really deep. I started doing a lot of reading on what happens when people die. And I started just, you know, spending time in nature, just getting quiet and letting things come to me, you know, just trying to be as present as I could be. And I remember I had this aha moment. My awakening was truly when I was sitting in this quietness and stillness and realizing that when I was in that place, I was really peaceful. I wasn't thinking about what had happened and I wasn't worrying about what was yet to unfold. When I was really, really present, I was completely at peace. And I went, that was my missing piece. That's what I've been searching for yearning for. And right away I knew, okay, this is your message. This is what you're going to take to a stage now and speak to people about. It's about getting quiet, turning inward, getting still. And again, it all fits with what I was doing in my work as a dietitian with respect to nourishment and well-being. But now my message was going to be more about nourishing your inner well-being as opposed to your physical well-being. And that became my whole reason for being. And that's the message that I go out to and speak to people about. And the reason that I target women, Shelley, is because I think there are so many midlife wives out there, women who are struggling with there's more to life than just what's, you know, in within these four walls. There's more to me than just being a mom and a partner and whatever I'm doing in my career. There's more to me. Who am I? And so sometimes it does take a really pivotal life moment for you to say, you know, to shake you and wake you up. And sometimes it doesn't. But if you're really lucky, you find what that is and you find your purpose. So for me, it all just made sense, you know, loving that stage, knowing I wanted a really authentic message, finding myself. So finding myself, all of a sudden, it just came to me. You just discovered who you really are. You need to go out there and help people discover themselves as well. And that's how Discovering You was born.
Oh, man, what a story. First of all, I'm, you know, super sorry to hear. How long ago was that your husband passed away?
It's been 8 years now.
8 years. Okay. Well, I'm really sorry about that, but man, what a story. And some stuff to unpack here. So bear with me. Mm-hmm.
And there's more to the story too. So
well, let's just pause a moment and unpack some of the things that you just said. Yeah, I have found that the majority of women that I have on the podcast, myself in my personal life, and then other women that I talk to, is that tragedy leads to change. It's like we have this moment, and, you know, as corny as this sounds, and I kind of think you probably feel the same way, or cliche as this sounds, I should say, is that I had a moment too where I was like really clear in my vision. And, you know, part of what I do is because I don't want women to have what I call my train track moment, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I just got goosebumps listening to your story and how you, in that moment, just really realized, you know, what you were going to do. But let me ask you a question. So, first of all, midlife wife, what does that mean exactly? And how did you come up with that term?
Honestly, I think I should be in marketing because I always come up with these things in my head. I'm like, that's so cool.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah. And I don't even know how that term came to me. It was just that restlessness. And I don't think that term really was in my mind as I was going through it in the moment. Yeah. It wasn't until I kind of went down this whole journey and kind of thought back to who I was when I was really restless, and then what I had discovered, you know, following those pivotal moments in my life. I just went, yeah, you were restless. You were searching for something more. It was that whole, who am I? You know, who am I? Why am I here? What's my bigger purpose? I don't know. And somehow it just kind of came, like, it's kind of like this midlife, you know, I think that's what people go through. That's what happens in midlife. You know, you get restless. You're looking for more meaning. You're searching for something that doesn't seem to be, you can't seem to find within, you know, what's right in front of you. You know, it's a deeper meaning to life. I honestly can't remember how it came about.
I just found it a really interesting term.
I think looking back, it might've been a girlfriend of mine. Maybe we were on a run or something and she said it, and I went, oh my God, that's so cool. I'm feeling it. I think maybe that's something simple like that.
You know, I kind of really resonate when you were saying that you felt you had this perfect life, because I totally feel like that now. But I do believe that within the knowing that we have a perfect life, and which I'm really grateful for, it can coexist with the feeling of, I don't know who I am and what's my purpose and what do I really want to be doing? Because one of the things I have found, and perhaps you could speak to this too, is that I find if I don't question what I'm feeling, even though my life is perfect, I get comfortable, I settle in, and I fall back into some really, I don't want to say bad habits, but, you know, I get comfortable again, and I don't grow. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't grow anymore. So I think those two things can coexist. And I'm sure there is a lot of guilt, you know, because sometimes I feel guilty. I'm like, my life is great. Why am I questioning anything about it?
You know what I think? And again, you know, I sometimes hesitate to speak too much about this because not a lot of people relate. So I'm going to try and qualify. When I speak about finding your inner spirit, it's really listening to that gut instinct, that part of you that knows yourself best. And I think when you say, you know, you feel guilty sometimes because your life really is perfect, but you're restless. And why is that? It's because we all have a bigger calling, right? We all have something we're here to do in this lifetime. And that is what that restlessness, that's what that calling to restlessness is. That's what that's all about. It means, you know what, go out there and find either what it is that's going to help you grow as a person, or, you know, well, obviously, if you find that thing that you're meant to do, you are going to grow. You're going to grow within yourself, and you're going to also serve other people. You're going to grow in so many different ways. So I think that restlessness, it's not, yeah, we stuff it down, especially as women, we stuff it down and say, you know, and that's why we turn to things that are maybe unhealthy practices, because we're shutting down what we're being called to do. We're quieting down that voice, that part of ourselves that really knows us best. So my whole point about discovering you is really honoring your most authentic self, finding out who that is, honoring it, and living from that place. because that's how you're going to show up as the best version of yourself. And when you show up as the best version of yourself, you show up for everybody else as well.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's very well put. One of the things that you wrote on your website, which I found really profound. I'm going to read it here. Maybe you can speak to how we women can do this and then talk more about your program as well. You write that living in alignment with the things you value the most will give you the most out of living. It's really that simple. So unpack that for us. What does that mean, and how do we get there?
Yeah. And so it's all part of connecting to who you are. So the thing about, you know, when I speak to women, Shelley, I always use this example because it is the most relatable example for all of us, I think. When I say to women, what do you value the most in your life? Family. That's the number one answer, right? Family. And so I'll counter that a little bit, or I'll challenge. I'll say, well, family for, I mean, and again, I'm not, who am I to say? This is my take on it. Family is an institution. So there's so many things that go into that, right? Connection, love, security, nourishment, nurturing, all of those things. So what do you value about family? And so they'll unpack what that looks like, you know, for them. And then I'll say, okay, I do too, right? I absolutely value all of those things. But the priority that I place on that value today looks very different than what it might have looked like 10 or 15 years ago when my kids were small.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So my point is that as life shifts and pivots and changes, and as things change in your life, as your kids grow, as they expand, you know, their own lives, spread their wings, do their thing, your life changes too. And you need to give yourself permission to let that happen. So your values will change too. So for example, yes, I mean, in those early moments when my husband died, yes, my kids' well-being and all of that, like family was here. It was the closest thing to my chest, and that's all that mattered. But my girls are in their 20s now, and they're spreading their wings and they're doing their thing. And I am so all about nurturing my well-being, you know? And so my values are more centered around my well-being, but that's not a selfish thing. And that's the message that we got to drive home for women. When you take care of your own well-being, you show up as the best version of who you can be in everything you do in your life. I am the best mom I could be now, way better than I was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was going through all of that and just coveting, you know, that protection, you know, of my children and making sure they were okay. Because guess what happens in those moments too? You're doing everything. You're spreading yourself so thin for everybody else. That's when you turn to those unhealthy things. There was a lot of wine in my story too, believe me, a lot of wine.
Is that where your phrase steady by day, unsteady by night existence came 100%.
From? 100%. Yeah, for sure. You know, I was had it all together by day, but then, you know, like the walls came down at night. And, you know, whether it was a coping mechanism, you know, I mean, these things take a part in your life for different reasons at different times in your life again. So whether it was an unhealthy coping mechanism at one point to kind of fill a void, and then maybe it was just to quiet those inner demons and those voices for a while. Maybe it just became habitual at some point in my life. But the bottom line is it became a very routine part of my life. And I recognized that it really wasn't furthering me or helping me grow.
Right, right. No, very true. Very true. It doesn't at all. So, I have a question forming here. Let me think about how I want to ask this. So listeners, you can like go grab a cup of coffee or good thing about editing. Take a break while Shelley thinks about what she's going to say. Yeah, you know, I find the women that I talk to, in particular women in the group, their identity is so wrapped up in something else that they can't. I loved what you said about you value family, because one of the things I talk about is exactly what you said. Yeah, when my kids were little, that was, you know, the way I valued family was different. My kids are all grown and have kids of their own. So the way I value mm-hmm. my family now is entirely different. But I think sometimes we just get so wrapped up, and I find it, the women I talk to, it's just hard to get out of that. They don't even know where to start. The question, who am I, is just too overwhelming for them.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. And I think it's really easy to fall back into someone else's definition of who you are, mm-hmm. whether it's an expectation that was bestowed on you by someone else, or whether it's just kind of how you've lived your life for so long that this is just sort of your comfort zone, because we don't want to step out of our comfort zones very often. But I think when you do those things, that's why, and I know I've listened to your podcast as well about aligning with your core values. when you can figure out what those are and you find ways to integrate them into your life on a regular basis, you do naturally step more into who you are. And I'll give the example of health and well-being. So I've always, you know, as I say on my website, walk the talk. As a dietitian for 25 years, nutrition and fitness and all of that were always a part of my life. But now with the journey that I've been on, I've learned that nourishing my entire well-being is really the way that I can live more wholly and more fully and more healthily. So, you know, well-being is still a part of what I value, but that definition has expanded for me. Connection, like I said to you, is something I value. I've always loved connecting with people, but now I connect to something unseen as well, right? So nourishing, you know, that connection to something that I can't see, but that I know exists in my life. That's a very important part of what I value. And so I bring practices into my life that allow me to do these things. And they are what make me, and they are what make me show up and emit an energy that I wouldn't otherwise, because I'm living really authentically.
Yeah. That's so good. So what else would you like to say about your program, in particular, how you help women? I mean, what specifically do you do in your program that help women? How can we find you? Where are you at on the internet webs?
So my website, lydianoor.com, has all of the programs that I offer listed. So I have three areas that I sort of engage with people. One is from the stage. So I offer keynotes. It hasn't happened during COVID. It's only happening on platforms like this, which is amazing. I love this.
Yeah.
Because you don't even see what I'm wearing on the bottom half, which is great. So it makes life easy, right?
Exactly.
And then I offer workshops as well. One specifically around establishing and integrating your core values into your life, as we talked about. Another key area that I work with women is in getting your story down on the page, not necessarily to write your own memoir, but I think it's a really, really critical exercise to journal. It's a great way to just unload what's happening for you. It's a safe place to put what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and put it away. It's for no one else's eyes but your own. But I actually really love memoir writing, and that's what led me actually into being published. Is, you know, when you can get your story down on a page and you can do some really targeted writing around the different areas of your life, you start to see the threads weave for how you went from, you know, this little person and some of the key influences in your life to how that shaped how your life unfolded and to create a window into your future. So I think it's a really great exercise to write. And there are different ways that you can do that. And then, of course, as I mentioned, I was published in a book and I was invited, you know, just by luck to contribute to a book that was called Ignite Your Inner Spirit, which is, you know, so in line with everything that happened on my journey that it was a no-brainer. I mean, I don't think it took only a millisecond to say yes to the invitation. And that was aligning myself with a group of 35 other authors who were all writing about life experiences where something bigger, you know, stepped into their life and transformed how they lived their life, how they saw their journey, how they managed and navigated through some really trying times in their own lives. So, you know, I have, you know, writing behind me, I have workshops and I have keynotes, and my whole thing is to inspire people to just step into their own uniqueness so that they can live a life that is authentic and thriving and fulfilled. And hopefully with any luck, we'll show them what their purpose is.
Oh, I tell you what, I just find you so inspirational and motivational. Oh, really. I just love listening to what all you had to say. So before our time is up here, I think that's all the questions I really had for you. I do want to say, I like going back to what you said about before your husband passed away, is that question, are you happy? That's one of the things that my partner, Steve, and I discuss all the time. It's like, we have both said to ourselves, we will not be unhappy again. You know, if whether it's in a job or relationship, I think you get to the point, so I'm almost 60. I think you get to the point where you're just like, life's just too short. And then you know, things happen like that happened with you that really hit home just how short life is. So I love your story. It's just so inspirational. And I know that the women and that, or men too, whoever listens to my podcast, is going to like it as well. So, hey, before we head off, do you have any parting words of wisdom? Anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners?
Yeah, I think a few things. You know, the whole idea behind, you know, stepping into your own uniqueness and really identifying with who you are and living that way, what that does for you is it creates a really strong foundation. And I feel like you can be really rooted in yourself, in who you are. Nothing that happens in your life is going to unravel you so much that you can't bounce back. And that's really a key takeaway and something I've learned. And one of the things that, you know, showed up for me right away when I first got this news and other points in my life as well is gratitude. It's something I practice, and not just, you know, for the simple things in life, like the blue skies and the warm cup of coffee. I mean, those are all things I'm grateful for. But I think if you can find gratitude and the silver linings in the darker moments, you're really operating from a place of love. You know, you're really opening up your heart to say, you know what, where's the lesson in this? What can I learn? How can I grow from it? And you grow exponentially when you live from a place of gratitude and appreciation, because it's putting you in that present moment, and it's really encouraging you to just see the good, you know, and I choose to see the good. You know, everything has everything happens for a reason. I believe that. I truly believe there are no mistakes. I mean, we can change our own course of action and we can change our own path and direction. And yeah, sometimes it's not the best decision for us, but there's always an opportunity to learn and to grow and to step into more fully into who you were meant to be.
Yes, I have a confession to make. I used to be a gratitude hater. So, but it's really, you know, what's so funny is I've always, like, even in bad situations, I always felt like I was a really, like, optimistic person. Like, I always a glass half full kind of person. But back when my life was a complete shit show, people would talk about practicing gratitude, and I'd be like, that doesn't work. That's a bunch of hooey. That's because I didn't want it to work. It's because I liked wallowing in my own pity. But I will tell you, it changes your life. Practicing gratitude, and that's the whole point of this little story, is that literally changed my life. Being grateful.
Yeah, and it's not, practicing gratitude isn't so much about yourself, right? It's giving thanks or gratitude to something else. And I love what you just said, because I was listening to one of your podcasts, and when you talked about, you know, how you would kind of revel in your own self-pity for a time. And I love the way you were able to step away. It's actually was your podcast about self-awareness and how you were able to step away and say, wait a second, I'm just turning it back to make it about myself. And you realize that.
Was that self-awareness of a bottle of Chardonnay?
I love that. I just thought that was so great. And it's so true. You know, really, it's self-awareness is reflecting. Reflection is huge, but it's also realizing it's not about you. And so what I do now too, another exercise, one more takeaway, and it's all part of the learning journey, is when something isn't sitting right with me, or when I see or read or observe something and I just, my immediate reaction is one that's a little bit negative, or whether it's judgmental or whatever it is, I quickly go, what's happening with me? What's happening with me that I'm feeling this way? Mm-hmm. It's not about them. It's about me.
Yeah.
So it's a check, right? Reflect.
That's an excellent point. And yeah, self-awareness, creating that self-awareness about, excuse me, why you do what you do, why you think what you do, why your habits are, you know, just like you were talking about, and I've done the same thing, you know, my night existence, you know, trying to create some awareness in a glass of wine, which doesn't work. So
right on. Yeah. And that's where journaling too, you know, it's a really great place just to put your thoughts and feelings and park them for a bit and then come back and revisit, you know,
exactly
how you feel. Exactly.
Well, gosh, Lydia, thank you so much. This was just a fun conversation. And I really appreciate you, number one, telling us your story, and number two, spending this past half hour with us. I really appreciate
it. Well, thank you. I appreciate the platform, and thank you to all of your listeners.